Praise the Lord for His goodness and His faithfulness. Let's open our Bible to Book of Genesis, chapter 28, and we will read from verse 10 to verse 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from the sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Thank you for your word that give us understanding and wisdom, and direct us, Lord, in the way that you want us to be, in the name of Jesus. Lord, arrange the message in the way that you want it to be, and let the message bring inspiration and revelation and guidance to your people and answers to their questions. And Lord, I pray that the message will bring you the fruit that desire. People committed their life unto you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that your message will bring healing, help, hope, deliverance, salvation, and direction to those people who are wanting to know you more in a special way. That's all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jacob is the son of Isaac, and he is a brother of Esau. They were twin. Esau was born first, and Jacob the second, a twin baby that born to his mother Rebekah. Esau has the birthright, but Jacob deceived him, and the meaning of the word Jacob is deceiver. One day Esau was coming back from hunting, and he was hungry, and he asked Jacob to give him some food, some stew, and Jacob agreed, but he told him, you must sell me your birthright. So Esau sold his birthright So Jacob sold his birthright to Esau, and later on when Isaac, their father, he called Esau to bless him. Jacob hear about it, and he went and he prepared the food that his father liked, and he presented to him, and he received the blessing that is belong to Esau. When Esau come to know about it, he was so angry of it, and he and that day he promised Esau that when my father is going near to die, that I will be the one to kill my brother Jacob. So Jacob, when he heard about it, he was so afraid. And his mother sent him away quickly to her to his uncle Laban in Haran. So the passage that we have read just now, it speaks that the day of Jacob where he ran away from Beersheba, left Beersheba, afraid from his brother Esau, and running quickly and moving quickly, escaping the terror of Esau toward Haran. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he could not go more further because it was night, because the sun had set. There is no more light. That time there is no light. He does not know where to go then. He will not know the direction. So he have to stop where he was. Certain time you run and you run and you run, and you rely on your own strength, and then you may think that you are smart, as Jacob was thinking he is a smart man, a smart boy. You may think about yourself, you are a smart man and or smart boy or smart girl, and you can do it. But time will come, or had come, that you had been realized that you cannot go forward more, that you cannot push more. Your capabilities and your resources are limited and need to stop. You have no more load to go forward. That was the situation of Jacob. He stopped there. And then he have to sleep. He has nothing with him. He was running away. Danger and terror after him, and could be this is your situation now. You are running away, or you have a problem because you have put yourself in problem. And I pray and I ask God that make you understand that you must believe that you cannot live without the help of God. Jacob could be hearing about God because sure his father had spoke to him about God, Isaac I mean, and his grandfather also spoke to him sure about God. But still, Jacob did not have any personal relationship with God. God had not yet appeared to him. There is no interaction yet between Jacob and God. He not yet experienced the goodness of God. He not yet experienced the revelation of God. He not yet experienced the miracle of God in his life. So till now he's relying on himself. He deceived his brother Esau. He took his blessing, and now he's running away. Fear and terror controlling him, and he reached a place, darkness. He cannot go forward any more. He has no place to sleep. Even he has no pillow. What he did? He took one of the stones there and put it under his head. I don't know if you have sleep on rock or stone. Not yet for me. I did not yet experience that. I experienced sleeping on the ground, but not put my head on the stone. It's very painful to sleep on a, and put your head on a stone. But you would sleep only in one condition, when you are very tired. Very tired, and you're haggard, and you don't know what to do. So you are exhausted. So once you put your head on the stone, you can sleep, because you are so exhausted. And once you get some rest, because the stone is painful, it makes pain in your head, you will just wake up. And you will not be able to sleep again, because the pain that the stone causes on your head will prevent you from sleeping again. So you have to get up. And that's the same situation when you sleep and you have a problem. When you have a problem, or might be today that as you hear this message, you have a problem and you are not able to sleep because the problem is insisting on your mind, is pressurizing your mind, the problem. And you will only be able to sleep when you are so exhausted, so late, or you are so tired. You cannot afford then to sleep. But once you get enough sleep, with a very little noise, you will wake up and you will not be able to sleep, because the first time you wake up, the problem will come back again to your mind and you will start to think about it, how to solve it. That was the situation of Jacob when he slept on the stone. But that problem that Jacob was passing through, it was an opportunity for God to interfere in his life and to introduce himself to Jacob. Maybe that problem that he was passing in and the danger that he was facing, it make him an humble person, open to God. Certain time, problems make people humble. God would be able to introduce himself to them. When people are strong and they are successful, and whatever they are doing, they are successful, they would not listen to God or take warning or take to heart what God wants to tell them, or even they don't give opportunity to God to speak to them. And might be this your situation now. But as you are passing a problem or difficulties, God today is introducing himself to you. He saw a dream. He saw a dream, and God appeared to him in a dream. He had a dream in which he saw a stairways resting on the earth, with a stop reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. He was on the ground, dreaming, and he saw himself down, and he saw how distance is the heaven from him, and he saw the stairway, and he saw how God is far away from him. In that dream, God showed Jacob his normal size. And God wants to tell you today, you must realize your normal size. Whatever strength you have, but you are very small in compared to the presence of God and to the power of God. The Lord introduced himself here to Jacob. I am the Lord. Jacob, you are not aware of me. From this day on, you have to be aware about the presence of God in your life and hear what God is speaking to you. I am the Lord. You may hear a sermon, or somebody spoke to you, or somebody have told you to follow God, or somebody have told you to read the Bible, but today God is introducing himself to you in a special way. I am the Lord. You wake up. You be aware of my presence. You honor me. No more you rely on yourself. You don't know you have a small size. You don't know that who I am in your life, that I am the one who honor everything, who owe everything, who create everything, and everything around you is belong to me. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. He's telling him, your father Isaac and your grandfather Abraham, I am their God. They are the one who spoke to you about me. What they spoke to you about me, I am the one. Today I am appearing to you, I am speaking to you. That time, Jacob sure would listen because he was sleeping on the ground. He was grounded. Nothing he has. No more to boast before God. He lost everything. He have to start from zero. And the Lord is telling him, it is a good start if you will start with me. So the first I am, the first I, the Lord spoke to him, I am the Lord. God introduced himself to you, and God wants to introduce himself to you. He's the God of salvation. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to save us from sin and death. What he say to Jacob, and he saying to you, I will give you and your descendant the land in which you are lying. He told him, I will give this land to you. This is belong to me. But remember, Jacob has no even pillow to sleep. You may have nothing. Maybe you are in a place, and that place does not belong to you. You have no pillow there even. You are just a stranger. You are just a guest. Or you are just a servant. But if God would be pleased with you, God can give you that place. God can bless you beyond measure, but he wants obedient people. With God, everything is impossible. He promised Jacob that your descendant will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. So there's increase in number, there's spread in four directions. And all people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. You tell him you will be a blessing to others. And that's the same promise that he promised to Abraham. You will be a blessing. And God telling you that you will be a blessing and people will be blessed through you. The third eye, the Lord spoke to Jacob and he's speaking to you. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. God is telling you that I will be with you and I will watch over your life. What wonderful promises. What a wonderful dream that with God interfering in your life today. And he's telling you all these things to trust him. To put your life in his hands and to be assured of your destiny and your future in his presence. And I will bring you back to this land. God is promising you that what he has promised to give you, even it will be far, but God will bring it back to you. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This is the last. I will not leave you nor forsake you until I accomplish what I had promised to you. God is assuring Jacob that he will fulfill what he promised. He will not leave him or forsake him. And God also, he is warning Jacob. Jacob, you have to change your character and attitude. And I will be after you and I will be chasing you until you will be transformed. I will continue to put you in a struggle and trials and discipline until you will be changed. And that's what God is speaking to you now. You may rely on yourself, you may behave in a cunning way like Jacob, but God today is rebuking you and disciplining you that he will not leave you until you get transformed and changed so that you would receive the blessing that God had prepared for you. We will continue the message. What Jacob did after he woke up and after he have received the dream and the promises of God, as you receive now. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Oh, how God can be there in this desolate area, in this far place? No one is there. God can be there. Yes, God can be there, wherever you are now. You must realize that God is there in the place that you are working or living or you are suffering is, on the place that you are in terror or in fear. God is there with you. You must be aware of it. Sometimes we are not aware. Sometimes you are not aware that you are the trial that you are in. God allows so that He would introduce Himself to you. Maybe the message here to wake you up, to be aware that God is there beside you. He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place?" When God appeared Himself to Jacob, start to have fear, because he would start to realize his sin and his shortcoming. And I pray today that God will make you realize, and you can see clearly your sin and your transgressions and your shortcomings, and you will start to fear God. Jacob say, "How awesome is this place?" You know, that place was without any facility, even there was no pillow. But when God was there, it's an awesome place. The word awesome is wonderful. The word awesome is also fearful, because God's presence, the glory of God, is like a heavy way to crush sin and pride. Jacob was fearful that when God appeared to him, when he realized that God is true, what Abraham and Isaac have told me about God is true. Now I am trembling in His presence. Now I realize that God is true. I have seen Him eyes to eyes. I hear His voice. I have seen how He spoke to me. Oh, this place is awesome. God's presence bring repentance, fear of God, transformation. What He say? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. He was in a desolate area, but he realized that God is there. He called it, "This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." When God appeared to him early the next morning, how Jacob would act. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He worshipped God. He called that place Bethel. The meaning of Bethel is the house of God. He took the stone, the painful stone under his head. And could be this is the trial that today you are passing through. Maybe through this trial, you would know God in a clear way. Before you don't know Him. But trial will make you know God well. Take this problem that you pass through. As God promised you to be delivered from it, make your commitment to God. Maybe you are in a corner, you are hearing this message, or with a people, or in a congregation, or in a church meeting. But that is the word of God. And God wants from you today commitment. As Jacob commit himself and make a vow to God, commit yourself to the Lord today. The promise of Jacob, the vow that Jacob did to the Lord, it has three folds here. Three things he commit himself. as God will provide for me and help me and support me in my journey, if God will be with me and will watch over me on the journey I am taking and will give me food to eat, food and provide for me and clothes to wear, so that I return safely in my father's house, so that I will be returning safely and God will be with me always, provide for me and protect me, then the Lord will be my God. First, he committed himself to the Lordship of God over his life. And that's what you need today to do. You need not to believe on Jesus as your God, but your Lord only. Also, not only that he is the way for you to be saved, but he is the Lord over your life. He is the Lord, and you are in full subjection to him. The Lordship of God, the Lordship of Christ over your life. He is not only the Savior, but he is also the Lord over your life. Not your will, but his will. Not your desire, but his desire. Not your ambition, but his plan. Not what you wish, but what he had planned for you. The second commitment that Jacob did, he say, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. He said, this will be the house of God. In the New Testament, the house of God is the church, and we are the church. Don't you know that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in you? The second commitment as a believer you need to make to the church. You commit yourself to the church. How you commit yourself to the church? Everyone, you should belong to the church that God had appeared to you and he had blessed you. The church is the household of God, is the house of believers, the family of faith. God promised us the kingdom, but now we are in the church. He promised us the kingdom, but he gave us birth in the church. He gave us the church on earth. As we wait for him to come to take us to heaven, until he come, or until we are reaching heaven, we are part of the church. We commit ourselves to the church in a membership, in physical presence, attending, giving our time and effort and talents to be used for God's glory. Our lives, a testimony would be to the believers and to the non-believers. The believer, they will be encouraged to know our life, and the non-believers, they will be we will be a channel for them to know God as they will see our life. Commitment to the church is very important. When God give us birth, when God give you birth, he place you in a church. Some people, they want to be independent, but that is not the way that God wants us to live. We are part of a church. We be in harmony with other believers. So the second commitment you need to do today, in addition to the Lordship of Christ in your life, is your commitment to the church, to the local congregation that God had placed you in. The third commitment that Jacob did, he said, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Tithing is very important here. The principle of tithing is in the Old Testament, from the time of Abraham through the whole Old Testament and in the New Testament. God wants us to honor him. As God gives us victories and income and provide for us, we show faithfulness with good attitude to be giving back to him the tithe. We bring back the tithe to him plus the other offerings that is needful to the work of God to continue. His commitment is life, inheritance, life testimony, and in financial support to the church and the ministry that God had placed us in. Today, if you are just a mere believer, or you are not yet in faith, in true faith in God, in you, without commitment to God, if you want your life to be straight, and if you want God's blessing to flow, then commit your ways to God. Accept the Lordship of Christ over your life. Commit yourself to the local congregation, as this is the house of God, the church of God, and to tithe your income and to live unto Him. If you are convinced and God speak to you, you pray and commit your ways to God. Tell Him, Lord, I believe, Lord, that the trial and difficulties that I am passing through is your way to introduce yourself to me. Lord, I believe, Lord. I believe that all the promises that you have promised me, that you will give me and you will watch over my life and you will accomplish your promise and your purpose and you will neither leave me nor forsake me. Today, Lord, I commit myself to the Lordship of Christ over my life. Not my will, Lord, but your will. I commit myself to the church that you place me in, O God. And I commit myself also, Lord, to the principle of tithing and to tithe all whatever income you're going to bless me, O God. Lord, help me and guide me and support me. O Lord, I pray for each and every brother or sister who pray this prayer from their heart, O God. I pray for them, you uphold them with your grace, watch over them, and sustain them and protect them, O God. Lord, take full control over their life, Lord. And even I pray that the message will accomplish the purpose that you send it for, O God. We pray that your desire will be fulfilled, O God. I pray for a real committed workers. They will understand what is the Lordship of Christ and the meaning of commitment to the church and the tithing, O God. I thank you, Lord. I bless you, Master. Lord, I pray that you take this message and use it mightily for your glory. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name. Amen.